be in Berlin on Wednesday to explain why he didn't stop the development of the Eurohawk drone as soon as he knew it wouldn't get clearance from aviation authorities. The development of the Eurohawk cost hundreds of millions of euros. De Maizière hasn't ruled out consequences for some staff, but hasn't indicated he plans to step down over the scandal.
The main challenger to German Chancellor Angela Merkel in upcoming elections, the Social Democrats candidate Peer Steinbrück, has given a speech in Berlin to outline his foreign policy proposals. He's announced his opposition to Germany's acquisition of military drones after a project to develop them was scrapped by the government last month. He also pledged to reduce weapons exports and said he was opposed to sending weapons to Syrian rebels following the EU's recent endorsement. Steinbrück also accused Merkel of one-dimensional leadership in the Eurozone crisis. Germany heads to the polls on September 22.
While Syria's government says its forces have taken full control of the strategic town of Qusair, it comes after 2 weeks of fierce fighting between the opposition and government forces, which were backed by Lebanon's Hezbollah militant group. Meanwhile, UN peace envoy Lakhdar Brahimi has ruled out the possibility of peace talks in Geneva this month. Called Geneva II, the international conference was proposed. La miseria sabremos vencer.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
So you go and so you study the area and you find out what happened. What did the indigenous people worship? You know, and you know, if they did blood sacrifice, like we found some areas are very, very violent because the former culture was a murderous, violent area, like in Texas here and all the coast around Houston and Galveston and some of that area, the Native American people were cannibals, you know, and they ate people. And so you could see a manifestation of that in the churches where people turned against people and kind of cannibalized other people's ministries. And so there's been a lot of prayer over that in Houston, Texas. They've done a lot of intercession over that and broke the curses on the land. And we just had a prayer meeting in Houston a little week ago. The governor of Texas, and you know, really as an individual, instigated this. 35,000 people showed up to pray. And there was only a prayer meeting call within 3 months, you know, 3 months period of time. So what happened? The land is starting to rejoice, you see, because of that prayer.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! You guys have no jurisdiction here.
Indian
land! You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me you're Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all say the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet Radio for the smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
The subject is called the Leviathan Spirit. Now, why are we doing this? Because I have just really feel from the Lord that I should teach it. This spirit, what does it do? I wrote down some of the things. I'm convinced it's the cause of divorce, tribal wars, church splits, family feuds, sibling rivalries, ministries breaking up. It is more responsible, I believe, than any other spirit. If you have in your bloodline any animus, any Native American blood, for instance. Not all Native Americans worship the serpent or crocodile. Many did. But you might want to renounce that and repent for that generational iniquity. If you are, perhaps you're Mexican, and you might have indigenous blood in you, or Mayan blood, those who might have Aztec blood anyway, you need to repent for the sin of animism before you begin to deal with this spirit, because it'll be very active in your bloodline. We know that some of the totem poles, even in the north of America and the Virginias and places like that, would have a crocodile in their totem poles. So if in the totems there is a crocodile spirit, you can say that there could be a very strong spirit of Leviathan operating in that area, if it has not been dealt with as a territorial spirit.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Internet Radio for Smart Aboriginal.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalpress.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ANG Newswire. ANG-newswire.blogspot.com. I apologize for that. Thank you for tuning in to Indigenous News, Thought, and Analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neofascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. I wish peace to the gods and earth, send love and solidarity to the entire original family in this time of strife and struggle. This is the Angry Indian, and we're sitting in with our executive producer and engineer, as always, Guadalupe Morales. And, we're sitting here, and, you know, almost always, I have, things that I come in and I sit down and I want to talk about, like this Dr. Jacobs that you heard on the way in here. I mean, we can deal with her real quick. She's a lunatic. It's too easy to call her a fool, you know. She's totally loca. Look at her. Listen to her. You don't even have to see her. Listen to her. The woman is not wrapped too tight, right? She's not balanced. And, I'm not saying that because she's a female. And we're going to talk about females, too. we're going to talk about women, and we're going to talk about women in activism. And and I hate to feel like this, but I feel like Saxe Chambliss just kind of pushed me in this position. I really do, and I have to say something about it. You know, Lupe and I talked about it, and I said, you know, because we haven't been on the air here for a while, I haven't been doing too well, and you know, she's had her issues and so on. We haven't been in the studio, and we haven't had the means to be in the studio. You dig what I'm saying? Because you know, this doesn't cost you anything, and we don't want it to cost you anything. But you know, we do have to, you know, handle our end over here, and you know, we're not complaining about that. You know, it is what it is. You know, we always said that this would be a credit card free enterprise for those who want to hear, you know, real internet radio broadcasts, you know, that are not controlled by anybody. You know, I mean, if we take money from someone, then basically they own us, and we're not owned by anybody. You know, I mean, we're owned by you in terms of, you know, listenership, but even then, you know, we've been around long enough, and I've said things that people didn't like, and hey, they tuned out. And that's going to happen because, you know, this is about, you know, thought. This is about questioning. This is about getting to the root of why the situation is the way it is. And where do indigenous people fit into this? You know, and I know a lot of my North American brothers and sisters like to think that the world is centered around them because they're in the lower 48. But you have to understand something, that when you talk about indigenous, when you talk about Aboriginal, when you talk about First Nations, you're talking about original peoples. The fourth world is a broad, you know, is a broad scale. We're talking about a broad horizon here. And if we're actually going to survive this century, we need to start understanding who our friends are and who our friends are not. Now, it's not exactly as if I'm validating, you know, the particular choice of nations. But, you know, the First Nations, some of them have decided to start talking to Iran. Now, Iran's got its particular problems. I mean, they're dealing with a George Bush the Younger of their own. And, you know, Ahmadinejad, he's about to step down, and they're about to have elections again. So we're going to see what's going to happen. But, you know, this whole ginning up about Iran and what have you, you know, personally, I would like indigenous peoples to stay the hell out of it. But, you know, the thing is, Venezuela was doing this in terms of Chavez and what have you. The idea of starting to, you know, put the feelers out in terms of allegiances, you know, because Harper, who was really Bush light up, you know, up in Canada, up in the Great White North, he's not respecting indigenous people, he's not respecting women, he's not respecting the poor, he's not respecting the Liberal Party, he's not respecting his own conservatives. You know, I mean, I'm speaking to Tories that don't like Harper at all. And I'm like, well, why did you vote for him the last time? They said, well, really, there wasn't anything on the Liberal ticket that I could particularly identify with. And I was left with Harper. Do you dig what I'm saying? It's the same thing with Republicans, because, you know, there's no Tory tradition here in the States. The same thing. They say, well, you know, I vote a Republican ticket because there's really nothing else. I can't identify with the Libertarians. And you know why. I've said it before. I say it again. You know, Libertarians are really Republicans who smoke pot and they have gay friends and they're into group sex and what have you. You know, I mean, they're liberal in terms of they're having their fun. But when it comes to funding, say, aid for dependent children or what have you, you know, they're not with that. Right? You know, they feel that you should privatize all of the bridges, that you should privatize all of the private roads, all of the water, you know, the prison system, you know, all of that. But, you know, don't take anything from them, basically. Let me have my privilege. Let me do what the hell I want to do. And let these little people, you know, the hard scrabble, scrabble on for whatever it is that they need, or, you know, God forbid, what they might want, if such a thing as a God exists, right? Because we've got a lot of problems in the world about that one. But, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to talk about a few things here. You know, for the simple fact that, you know, I mean, really, you know, brass tacks. There's so much hypocrisy going on with so many different goddamn things. I really don't even know where to begin. So we're going to take a break so I can kind of get, because Lupe's waving at me to, you know, let's kind of get it together. Okay, I got you. We're going to take a short station break. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
For us today, okay, I don't know whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but okay. Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Right? True.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
It's Sting is going to do, it's a video, Sting video.
What is...
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is a...
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Fucking thing sucks!
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album.
This is Radio Anglo-Indian. Anglo-Indian radio for the fourth world.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian health service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
Tanse toya kakio ni wakuma agante. Winston Watininia, Miksuachi, Saskatchewan, Neotsian.
I am Winston Watini. I am from Mik, Saskatchewan. Knowledge is power. We must gather knowledge to protect our children, our culture, our future. Learn the ways you can protect yourself and others from infection and spreading HIV. Teach others what you have learned. Together, we can make a difference.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
Listen to Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to them.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to do. They ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Okay, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, the Angry Indian, sitting in with my engineer, Guadalupe Morales. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. Subscribe to our international podcast by way of our RSS feed at feedburner.com/Aboriginal Press Radio. And we are carried by an ever-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model. For more information about the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspapers at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You can also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk, and you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Now, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative elements staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all that, take the time to listen in on this show anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And, if you've already heard about PRISM, that's one thing I want to just get out of the way right now, real quick. I mean, you're a complete fool. If you thought that you were online and that you were doing email and that you were taking photographs with your girlfriend and what have you and you're putting them up on Facebook, if you really thought that this stuff was not being hoovered up, if it was not being collated somewhere, if you're in the UK, GCHQ, if you hear any of these multitude of this entire myriad of fucking data centers, all privatized, right? The entire thing, just like Rollerball, just privatized, the whole goddamn thing. I mean, if you're really into the films, you might remember a film called The Killer Elite. I'm not talking about this new one here with the Jason Statham. I'm talking about the original Killer Elite with James Caan and Burt Young and Robert Duvall, where they worked for a firm called Comtech that it turned out was an intelligence firm that was completely privatized. They didn't work for the agency, not directly. They worked on contract. Gig Young. Are you cats old enough to remember Gig Young? Gig Young was their control. So was, what was his name? I'm getting ready to say Hal Holbrook, but I don't think that's who it was. But, like I said, if you're old enough to remember, if you're old enough to really remember the 70s, you'll know what the hell I'm talking about. And, it was just one of those films that was just kind of ahead of its time that was, kind of showing and explaining. I mean, there was a few films like that. The Parallax View, Warren Beatty, Hume Cronin, I can't remember the rest of these cats, man. but let's just say that it showed a side of the states here that was being discussed during the Warren Commission and what have you. You know what I'm saying? Doing the church commissions. You dig what I'm saying? Right? You had a few of these things, three of these investigations that were done. And, you know, it all turned out to be, okay, we did the investigation, whatever. We're going to go ahead and do whatever the fuck we're going to do. Right? I mean, there are agents who work for the Bureau, man, who said that they never wore a blue shirt until the director passed away. You dig what I'm saying? Because they were just completely, you know, caught under the paradigm of what J. Edgar Hoover and his husband, Clyde Tolson, were doing down there in D.C. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So those of you who are completely surprised by PRISM shouldn't be. You really shouldn't be surprised. You know, what is there to be surprised about? When we began this goddamn show in 2001, I knew from the get-go that whoever the hell was out there that monitors whatever the hell that's out there is going to be listening to everything that is said. And that when we started bringing on guests, I tell them, don't say anything to me that you wouldn't say to me on the street. You know, because we know that people are listening. Now, if you don't understand that, if you haven't, you know, if you haven't figured that out by now. And like I said, you know, you watch all these goddamn, you know, stupid Hollywood films about, you know, what the hell intelligence does and what it's not supposed to do. And, you know, you got all these little danger situations. I mean, like John Cusack. I mean, I dig John Cusack. You know what I'm saying? I like him. I mean, I think he's cool. I think he and his sister are really cool. Especially, you know, for those of an our age group. They in a lot of ways in the film genres, what have you, they identify that whole 80s generation. But you know, I mean, he does a lot of these things, but he's some CIA person, and he's done spoofs about it, and he's done halfway serious films about it, and how many of them that they go straight from some studio in Belarus to your Netflix account, you dig? And we talk about this all the time. I mean, we do this all the time. I mean, how many goddamn detective shows, cop shows are there? Huh? How many? How many are there? How many, you know, different situations are there? You know, we got the sad police officer. You know, we got the police officer that can't handle. You know, we got the police officer that's on the edge. You know, we got the police officer that's trying to do the right thing. I mean, you got intelligence, you know, the same thing. I mean, what was the whole Jack Ryan series from, I can't remember his name, your husband, Lupe Reitz, his stuff, the American writer, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, The Hunt for Red October, you know, whatever his name is, the American writer. You know, I mean, what is the whole point about Jack Ryan? You know, he's not the evil, I just go and do whatever the hell Henry Kissinger puts out in a memo, right? Or cable or what have you. You know, Jack Ryan is the good officer. You know, he's out there trying to do justice. He's not trying to do imperialism. He's not trying to do colonialism. You know, he's the good, you know, American. Or the good German. You know, I mean, depending on how you want to look at it. But I don't think it's the good German complex in this. You know, I think with those novels and with that film series, it gets this propaganda. And of course, they had the help of the entire military industrial complex in order to make the film. Because those of us who understand how Hollywood works, who have tried to become screenwriters and have failed, right? You know, we understand what goes on with that, right? So, you know, it is what it is. Whatever his name is, Tom Clancy. Thank you for putting it up here on my screen. Thank you. Yeah, Tom Clancy. I mean, he's out there. He's making his paper, right? He's making his paper. He's making a dollar. And I've enjoyed the films. You know, I mean, Mr. Clark's character, I mean, he seems to have some kind of a moral center. You know, I mean, yeah, it looks good. But it's all propaganda. But see, the thing is, you watch all these things, and then when you hear about PRISM, you act like, oh, wow, I never heard about this. But they've been warming you up to this for how goddamn long? They've been getting you ready for this for how long? You know, for how long? You know, this was a segue. You know, all of that media crapola was a segue into what the hell you just happened to find out from this cat, Snowden. That's all it is, and that's all that you know is really going to be, because you and I both know that nothing is really going to happen behind this, because once that door is opened, it's never closed. Well, let me not say that, because in Germany, they actually realized that they can't continue to do this, even though that they had their intelligence service that was protecting their neo-Nazis in that country for how goddamn long. You know, I've been saying this for a long fucking time, because I paid enough dues to be able to say this. When that wall came down, I told people the Nazis in East Germany are going to come over to the West. Oh no, that's not going to happen, blah blah blah. What the hell started happening about 2 months after the wall came down? Right? You started having problems. You still got problems. Right? And now we understand that German intelligence was, you know, defending these people. Don't believe me? Look it up. And I haven't even started talking about Woolwich yet, because I'm still working on a piece and I don't know where the hell to go with it, because nobody's telling the truth. Just like with the event that went down here in Boston. And then what happened in Florida with the cat that supposedly was connected to them. These stories are not making any sense. You know, what the authorities are telling the public is not making any sense. And what really got me on this, because I started, you know, looking at what everybody else was looking at and stuff, even though I didn't do what NPR did. And I still can't remember that cat's name. And I don't want to embarrass him or anybody else at NPR. You know, I mean, what's going on in NPR is what's going on in NPR, right? It is what it is. You know, we all know that 60% of that is owned by whom. So they're going to reflect the opinions of whom. And then you look at, you know, who, you know, pays their bills. And it's like, okay, so it is what it is. What can be done? What can be done? But, you know, there were a lot of, you know, real journalists, you know, people who actually get paid to do this shit, and they were fucking was it John King, right, Lupe? He's talking about, well, somebody's going to get the story right. yeah okay, you know, I mean, that's why we've moved more to analysis rather than reporting, because, you know, if you start, I mean, the whole point of using the mainstream news as a source is the idea is like, well, this is a legitimate source, right? But it's like, hell no. You know, I mean, they go through what the AP and what Reuters tells them, and then that fans out to the rest of the goddamn universe, and that's what everybody works on. So unless you actually have people in the field who are actually there that can send you a real dispatch, all you know is what the hell the AP or what the hell Reuters is telling you. And I don't care who the hell you're getting your news from, including us. You know, I mean, that's pretty much where it's coming down to. What do you mean, where it's coming down to? that was a mistake. That was an error. No, that's where it is. Matter of fact, let me correct myself again. That's where it's been for a long goddamn time. Okay, so women, that's the next subject. We're going to take a station break, so whoever it is that you cats that are lovely that are out there rebroadcasting this show, we're going to take a little break here so you can identify them so that you may identify yourself, okay? And if you do happen to play these PSAs that we put in the middle, that'd be cool too, because they're good causes. And if you, dear listener, and if you who have us in your rotation, if you have a PSA of your own broadcast or an event or a cause that you think that people in the indigenous world need to know about, let us know at aboriginalradio@lababit.com. This is the Angry Indian sitting in with Guadalupe Morales, and we'll be back. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. It's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting America.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying? For Men in Hip Hop, really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about. It shouldn't be supported. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Sisters, brothers, friends, and supporters. Well, here it is, another year, another birthday. This one makes me 62 years old. Also, this makes it my 30 plus years in prison. I believe it was right after I was illegally convicted in Fargo, North Dakota, when I wrote a statement telling everyone that my freedom would only come after the masses had demanded it. But first, we would have to unite and organize to reach them. So far, we have been unable to do so. Yes, we have reached millions who signed my petitions. We circulated throughout the world, asking for my release. True, most of those good peoples are from Europe. But we also made a lot of gains here in the United States. At one time, we had 55 members of Congress sign a letter for a new trial or my release. 55 members is historical. No other prisoner in history has ever been able to accomplish this, nor has anyone else, individually. And there are other accomplishments we have made and won here in the United States. Still, I sit in prison, not because I am guilty of the alleged crime I was illegally convicted of, but because we are still unable to reach the masses here in America. The reasons for this is not because the American peoples do not care or want to help, but because we have been unable to reach them. Personally, I believe the majority of them do care and want to help. We sense this from the ones we are able to reach. We are moving forward very slowly in this freedom campaign of mine. The reason for this is we just do not have the financial resources to move forward at the pace we would like to be. This is the real and only reason we have been unable to reach the peoples of the United States. Nothing is free here in America. Not justice or the media. So although there still is no light at the end of the tunnel for me or my freedom, we continue struggling forward. I continue to search for the hope and strength I need to survive. I continue to pray and hope that one day I will get the support I need from the American people, and one day I will still be able to walk out of prison. So my hopes and spirits are still high at my 62 years of age. I can tell you in this continued struggle, we are still finding bits and pieces of new evidence to file new appeals on. Those of you who have followed my case closely, I can imagine are thinking, how can this be, as there has been so many constitutional violations already? But the same old problem exists. The courts continue to cover up the criminal acts in my conviction committed by my prosecutors. Your help is still needed more than ever. Please give us all you can. Thank you. Don't shout in the spirit of Crazy Horse. Tom J. Week, go on, you lass. Let her tell here.
Pues aquí les mando la aventura Radio Bemba, toda la familia ahí que estamos en Europa, estamos ahí con Alto Arizona y con vosotros a muerte para todo lo que sea.
Mi vida va prohibida.
Radio Bemba, mucho fuerza y con vosotros siempre.
This is Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue. This is The Horn, I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a listen live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.
just when you thought it was safe to turn your radio back on.
Internet radio for smarter originals.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. So, yeah, we're going to make this quick, man. What I wanted to say about women is this, you know. You had Saxby Chambliss. Now, we were going to play audio with him, and if Lupe decides to put it in, she'll put it in. But I decided not to. You know, I really decided not to. Because it's like, what's the point of listening to somebody just talk complete nonsense? Boys Will Be Boys speech about the sexual abuse that's going on in the United States military is complete nonsense. But on the other hand, I have to say something that a lot of people really don't want to discuss, and that, you know, my female friends will say to me, but I can't seem to find any feminist that will come out and say this in general, because there's a meme, you can't discuss this. And a lot of this, and there's a lot of black sisters out there that are saying this too, and I agree with them, that the discussions about sexuality and sexual orientation and what have you is almost always centered upon Eurocentric concepts. You know, which begins from a goddamn hang-up, you know. Because if you look at all of the Judeo-Christian and Islamic, you know, belief systems, you know, sex is something that you're really not supposed to enjoy. You know, something that women are technically supposed to submit to. So if a woman enjoys sex, you know, she has a natural appetite. She has a healthy attitude towards, you know, her own sexual being. You know, she's automatically regarded as a slut. She's automatically regarded as a woman of loose morals and what have you. I mean, you know the spiel. And, you know, like, I think it's bullshit. And, you know, that's my motherfucking opinion on that. You know, if a woman is sexy and if that bothers people, I mean, I really think that's their goddamn problem. But, you know, this whole idea that in one sense, you know, you want the woman to be completely sexualized, but at the same time, you expect her to be chaste. You know, I just think it's a whole lot of male nonsense. Man, that's not necessarily stuck in the European arena of bullshit, of male bullshit. I mean, you get the same thing when you look at China, right? I mean, I can't necessarily speak for Southeast Asia. I mean, in terms of my Philippine indigenous bloodlines in the Ilocano Highlands up there, you know, women, they ran everything. You know, the women ran the community, they ran the household. So, you know, I don't know. And at the same time, you're looking at, you know, not just one, but anywhere from one to four, maybe one to five females to one male. And it was totally in female, you know, control. And it doesn't mean that the men didn't have any say and what have you. You know, let's not get it completely twisted. Because, again, that's looking at things the way Europeans look at things. You know, allowing women to take control is a good thing. I mean, there's got to be balance and what have you. You know, just like with anything. Yin and yang. You feel me? But, you know, we have to be realistic. Now, for those people who really think that you're going to send, and this is where Saxby Chambliss was coming from. And like I said, you know, I don't agree with anything, and I've never agreed with anything he has to say, and I don't agree with what he said this time. And I really think the way he did this was completely goddamn stupid and representative of everything that he's about. But, you know, that's you know, a whole other, you know, Magilla. What I'm talking about is, there is no justification for American soldiers. And I'm going to be, you know, really narrow on this, because I know a lot of people just can't, you know, a lot of the conservatives that listen to this show, they don't know how to take it. So, you know, since you're so goddamn self-centered and selfish and xenophobic, let's just talk about it. U.S. military personnel, right? And when it comes to U.S. military personnel and the way men and women are supposed to deal with each other in a professional goddamn manner, if nothing else, no, they are not supposed to be sexually motherfucking assaulted. And when they bring these goddamn things up, it's supposed to be dealt with in a professional motherfucking in a goddamn manner by the chain of fucking command. Period. So when Saxby Chambliss comes up and says, oh, well, you know, fellas, and he said this, fellas, this is how he addressed all of the top brass that was sitting before him. Fellas, I'm not doing my job. You're not really doing your job. You know, making it seem like, oh, this doesn't really matter. I don't know if any of you listeners have ever known anyone who's ever been sexually assaulted. Who's ever talked to you about the assault. And I'm a do something that I really didn't plan to do because I'm just pissed about all of this and the fact that this isn't being goddamn discussed. I narrowly, when I was younger, narrowly avoided a sexual motherfucking assault. You know, it turned out that this person, you know, really wasn't mentally all together there, and I actually was able to talk my way out of the situation. So, you have to understand what the hell is going on, you know, with this, and the way that he treated the situation. Now, it is completely, you know, heartless for somebody like him. I don't give a damn what sort of a politician he is. I don't give a fuck what particular party he belongs to, who the fuck he represents, to get up and say that, well, you know, sexual assault, you know, basically, and you know, almost nobody up until what, last week, even bothered to mention that there were males that are being attacked by other males in the United States military. You know, don't ask, don't tell, right? You know, the same military that says, well, if you see something, you know, say something and what have you. Okay, now, having said all of that, you know, we're going to look at a particular case that is beyond heinous. There's no way to excuse this. And, you know, when it comes to talking about why people do not have trust in the system, you know, but when you have, you know, the total criminal maniacs, like say the Frenchman Jacques Nadine, he was in France, he was in Montreal, he was in a few places, just all over the, you know, I mean, just nuts. And what makes him, the only reason why I know anything about him at all is that he ran into the like left wing extreme. And the right wing extreme, for that matter. That's actually how I first heard about him. He was part of the OAS. They were the ones that, you know, wanted De Gaulle to keep Algeria French and what have you. I don't even think they really gave a damn about the Puy-Naz, the French who were born in Algeria. They were just, you know, they were fascists. They were fascists. These are most of the people that supported the Vichy government when the Nazis, you know, were in France. You remember, the Nazis walked into France. They didn't have to fire a shot. They walked into France. They walked into France. They marched in, and people were clapping. They were crying as they were clapping, you know. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense made it very, very clear. Fred Hampton said this before he was taken away from us in his sleep while he was lying next to his pregnant wife in that apartment in Chicago that was later proved. I mean, what was the outcome on that? Do the research. You know, I mean, that's another woman. You know, how many people think about what happened to the widow of Fred Hampton Sr.? How many of you think about that? You know, I mean, we're talking about Asada Shakur right now, you know, and all of this is connected. We're talking about a woman who was caught up in a racial profiling situation on the New Jersey highway. You know, which, you know, I mean, come on, you know, anybody who knows anything at all about New Jersey in terms of racism and the police can tell you a thing or two. I mean, what? They're already damn near bankrupt because they have to pay out in terms of police brutality cases. This was just reported in the Associated Press not too long ago. There were two townships that are bankrupt because they have to pay out for police brutality cases. And they already had $1 million bounty on her, and they put that on her about several years ago. And now the entire state is damn near bankrupt. They just had Sandy hit them, you know, and really do a serious amount of damage to that state, to the point where Chris Christie, the Republican, is now besties, you know, he's now BFF with Barack Obama. So, you know, here it is, and I understand he's at surgery now because he wants to run for president. You know what the hell's going on. So, you know, we look at the history of police brutality in the United States, but in this case, within the state of New Jersey. And then it's like, what do you have? You have a shot at Jim Crow who had to haul ass from here because what? What happened? Can we, you know, will anybody in the mainstream media take out the transcripts of her case so we can see what the hell happened? So we can see how the hell there can be a justification when the first man, the first black man in the White House decides to put this particular black woman, who, according to the surgeon who had to fix her up, said that her hands were up and she couldn't have possibly have done what they accused her of. How does that work? But then again, what am I talking about? We have South Africa and we have Zuma. And what happened with the, what was it, Marikina? Is that how you pronounce it? Lupe Marikina? The miners who went on strike, who were shot by their own police. You know, this is not apartheid South Africa. This is supposed to be post-apartheid South Africa. So what the hell is that? What I mean, come on. The ANC, the African National Congress, that was led by left-wing, some socialists, some communists. I assume they had a couple of anarchists in there. I mean, Joe Slovo was a communist. You know. And he was Jewish. And he was out there trying to do what he felt was the right thing for the liberation of all the people in South Africa. I mean, you know, the ANC used to be on the terrorist list at one point. And how long was it before they took them off the terrorist list? And then you have, I know I'm going on a tangent, but roll with me. And then you have here the former mayor of, New York City, right? And he was a prosecutor over there, right? How do I know about him? Because of the gangster Nicky Barnes. When he started talking, the prosecutor was Giuliani. But anyway, you know, he was going to run for president at one point, right? And here it is. He was with a bunch of other people, and they weren't all Republicans. There was a Democrat or two. But, you know, mostly, you know, the people from the political, military, industrial complex, who they were paid money to represent the MEK over here, the MEK, which, you know, they've been running around like a bunch of maniacs trying to take down the Iranian regime. I suppose they came around after Khomeini, but you know, they've been trying to take that down, and I guess return it to the Shah. And have you heard about that? Well, let me hold on for a second so I don't get confused here. But you know, they have actually, Bob Baer, former CIA, I don't know what he did. I guess he was a field guy. I don't know. Whatever it was he did. He did something for him that was serious. But anyway, you know, he's got I guess he's got one book out there. And he's been on 60 Minutes, the CBS show, for those of you who are not from, you know, not familiar with North American media. You know, he's been on television talking about this stuff. He was talking about this when, you know, way before Obama came in, saying that, you know, things were really, really, really out of pocket. And, you know, as somebody, again, who recognizes the need for intelligence, and you're a complete fool if you think that there's not a need for the for intelligence services and what have you. That's not being realistic. That's not being realistic. You know, it's simply not being realistic. And I really don't understand why folks don't see that. I mean, there's some things. I mean, like I said, I hate war. I hate violence. But I recognize the need for a military. I recognize the need for defense. But, you know, what the hell is going on now if it's not defense? And you know this, and I know this. But anyway, back to Iran and this these MEK maniacs. Now, they're not on the terrorist list anymore. But Bob Baer says that they were a real problem at one point for American intelligence, and that they had actually, you know, been, you know, pretty aggressive. So you would figure that you would not want them taken off the list, right? The same way, you know, when Mamir Abu-Jamal's case comes up, when we try to talk about what's happening with him. And, you know, fortunately now he's off death row, but we still need to get his case back into court so we can talk about Rizzo and the rest of these cats. And if you're from Philly, you know what I'm talking about, because you remember the move, and you remember Mayor Good, and he was black too. dig what I'm saying? And I know I'm going, you know, off on things here, but what I'm trying to say is, it's funny, it's kind of like a Bunsen burner. You know, you can turn it up or you can turn it down. Just like with these red alerts and yellow alerts and green alerts. And remember when they were doing that? Remember when they were doing that, you know, under Bush and Cheney, they had all these color alerts. What happened to that? It's just gone, right? You know, it's just gone. You know, all of that certainty of that time period. You know, you go with the army that you have, not the army that you want. Remember Cheney saying that? What was it, on Press to Meet the Press, whatever the hell, one of these stupid-ass Sunday talking head shows. But you get what I'm saying. So when people are telling me about, you know, abuse and military, and you got a real piece of work like Saxby Chambliss, who, like I said, I don't like anything that he represents. You know, anything that he represents. They still fly the Confederate flag, which to me, I still don't understand why that isn't treason. But they still fly the Confederate flag in the state that, with pride, in the state that Saxby Chambliss represents. And he had the unmitigated gall to get up on a public platform that we pay for in goddamn taxes and say that, you know, it's just some good old boy activity going on in the military. And when you got more than 6,000 reported assaults and how many more thousands that are underreported that they are admitting that it's a limited number that they actually know about. And if Lupe can put them on my screen, you know, then I'll be able to read those off. But, you know, whatever the number is, one is too goddamn many. Now, like I said, he was a complete, you know, a complete imbecile in the way that he explained it. But he did point out a certain reality, and what he should have done is explain that, or the way I'm going to say it, instead of what the hell he just did. Now, what I'm going to say is this. Anybody that really expects to put a group of people, I don't give a damn, they're male or female, in an environment where there is no, you know, or very little allowed sexual goddamn activity, especially in cases of warfare. Now, we just had the Japanese, not the prime minister, but one of the politicians over there, who made a statement that comfort women were necessary. And I don't know if he was talking about the Korean women that the Japanese army used, or if he was talking about the Japanese women that the U.S. army used, because that's, again, a story about women that is not goddamn discussed. Okay, they had, what, you know, hooch girls, as my relatives have explained it to me, as my father had explained it to me, actually. You had these hooch girls, which are basically prostitutes. And anyone who's ever watched any of Oliver Stone's films about Vietnam, or if you've ever seen Hearts and Minds, and see how these women are treated, how they're talked about, and how the soldiers, why they're with the prostitutes in Hearts and Minds, is going through my head right now. How they're actually talking about their girlfriends and wives, why they're being filmed playing around with the working girls. You know, which is another, you know, thing I want to bring up too, because there was a case in Texas that completely disgusted me. And, you know, again, you know, females, I don't understand why you're worried about Playboy. You got bigger goddamn problems than that. You have bigger goddamn problems than Playboy magazine. Is that even still being published? You know, but anyway, what I'm trying to get to is here. No, man, and I'm not trying to make light of anything. I'm really not. It's just the audacity and the irony of all this is what really bugs me. What Saxby Chambliss said was somewhat goddamn true, but like I said, it was complete assholery in terms of the way he explained it. Now, what did he say? It was from 17 to 22 year olds that, you know, that southern, you know. Oh, now nah, come on, fellas. What are these? These are young men, 17, 22. You know, I mean, there's a lot of hormones running around. Now, see, that, like I said, that's a real male chauvinist pig goddamn way to look at it. But what he said is actually goddamn true. You know, and for anybody who thinks I'm being sexist or I'm being fucked up, look. Look. Look at the goddamn prison system. Male and fucking female. Look at it. They got all that goddamn prison porn on cable TV if you really want to see all this shit, right? Look at it. What the fuck do you think goes on in there? And if you want to talk about AIDS, and HIV infection in the fucking African community, not just in Africa, but in the United States. Let's talk specifically about the United Goddamn States in terms of that. When it comes to black folks in D.C., you know, Philly's pretty goddamn bad, but both black folks in D.C., the rates are higher than Kenya. Now, that's saying something. And when you got black men who are going in and out of the goddamn system where there are no fucking women, what the hell do you think is happening? You know, any fucking, you know, sister who was really fucking like a real down fucking chick, you know what I'm saying, a real round the way girl, she will fucking talk to you and tell you and school you about what the fuck really goes on down there. Because they know when their men are doing 6, 8 motherfucking years, doing a dime, doing 15, right, doing 20, doing worse, and you're in a state that's got no conjugal visits, especially, what the fuck do you think is going on? See, you're being ungoddamn realistic. Now, you know, the only time I've ever heard any real talk about this overtly was in terms of the gay rights movement, because, you know, anyone who knows anything at all about gay history, at least in the United States, knows that San Francisco became a gay city, or known as a gay haven, because there were so many vets after World War II who ended up in San Diego, and they just found their way into San Francisco. They found their way into the port cities on the West Coast. Now, I'm sure New York City had some sort of scene, and historically, they did. Right? Well, I mean, historically they always have, but same thing, you know, there's a lot of returning vets. But, you know, I know the story in San Francisco best because I've had to study it for projects. And, you know, it wasn't a planned thing, it just happened to come out. But, you know, there's one documentary before Stonewall. I understand there's one called After Stonewall now, but in the documentary before Stonewall, they speak to a lot of World War II vets, and they said, yeah, I was a Marine, you know, I was in the Air Force, or I was in the Navy, you know, and of course everybody makes jokes about the Navy, but, you know, all the branches. And I've met plenty of men who have served, and it's like they told me about the experiences in the foxholes. I mean, no one talks about gay sex in terms of what happened in the camps in Europe. Do you really, I mean, there was sexual activity, there's sexual activity wherever the hell you go. You're not going to goddamn stop it. You know, that's like saying when the Europeans first came over to the Americas, they were chased. Are you serious? Are you serious? No, you see, you get people like me because of what the hell really went down here. And see, and I know that bugs people, but you know, when you're mixed and you know that you're mixed, and you get people talking about some pure race or what have you, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? Europeans, well, let me not to say Europeans, because it's not like the Chinese are not doing the same goddamn thing in Tibet. And it's not like the Indonesians haven't done it in East Timor. And it's not like they're not doing it in Papua New Guinea right now. I mean, what the hell is happening in Kashmir? How many women are being attacked in Kashmir? How many people are talking about this? How many Rom women in Eastern Europe are being attacked on a regular basis? How many people are talking about this? And Native Americans, well, you know, Prime Minister Harper says, just reported to the police. Even though it turns out it's the police that are doing a lot of the goddamn sexual assaults, which is what I'm coming up to right fucking now. Now, this piece of audio I'm about to play for you, and I was going to say something about Iran, but I'm going to get back to that. Because we got a particular note here by JJ, which I think is particularly interesting because of what I said earlier. But right now, I want to play this. This is I'm going to play the entire thing just so you understand what I'm talking about, and so you don't think it's just me talking, you know, out of my keister. I want you to hear what happened to a woman in open court in the United States.
Larger problems in family court. Well, Dave, it's not just one single case. There's multiple marshals involved and allegations ranging from sexual assaults to choking a citizen in court. This investigation begins with a 2011 video we've uncovered showing family court marshals arresting a woman because she claimed one of them sexually assaulted her. A warning, some of the details of the story may be disturbing to some.
So I'm just going to close the case out and dissolve the order.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Monica Contreras came to family court with her 2-year-old daughter. She was in court for only a few minutes on a routine divorce case. According to internal court documents reviewed by the I-team, family court marshal Ron Fox ordered Contreras into a waiting room by herself for an unexplainable drug search. Contreras says Marshal Fox touched her buttocks, breast, and ordered her to lift up her shirt. A later internal investigation validated her claims. Contreras went right back into the same courtroom to tell hearing master Patricia Doninger her requests to have a female marshal searcher were ignored.
I think I'd rather have a female in here. Anyone in here? I was just offended by this. I'm just offended that he asked me to do that.
Okay, so the story stands. Hands up.
What? Contreras pleads as Marshal James Kenyon begins to arrest her.
For what, sir?
Hold on.
Okay, why would I be arrested? Can you please tell me?
Turn around, put your hands behind your back.
Can you please tell me?
Turn around, put your hands
behind
your back.
Because of false allegations made against a police officer, so.
What?
We looked and could find no law supporting that arrest, let alone any law allowing an alleged sexual assault victim to be arrested by the alleged assaulter.
Jimmy, I got caught. I stuck to do this, so arrest her. I take the kids.
We're
done.
Why would you do that to me, sir?
Because you're making false allegations.
After repeated attempts by marshals to get Contreras to recant her story, she breaks down.
Let me go home. Let me go. It was all lies. I don't want to tell anything. It was all lies. Please stop.
We can do this the easy way. We can do this to her.
Marshal Fox tells Contreras the only way she can avoid jail is to step up to the microphone and recant. Contreras agrees, but does the opposite.
You asked me to lift up my shirt without a witness.
Okay.
You asked me to lift up my shirt without a witness.
For 4 minutes, Contreras pleaded to hearing master Patricia Doninger to hear her. Doninger didn't look at the alleged sexual assault victim, deciding instead to play with Contreras' daughter.
How could you do this to me? How could you watch?
Contreras' 2-year-old daughter confronts the marshals arresting her mother.
He said, can you please pull the picture without a witness? And I said, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yes, I do. Yes. You
won't.
Contreras kisses her daughter before being sent to jail. Her young daughter sent to Child Haven. 2 months later, Contreras filed a complaint with Court Martial Internal Affairs. Sources tell the I-Team investigators were shocked. They never heard of the alleged courthouse sexual assault from Family Court Lieutenant Steve Rushfield. After a 6-month Internal Affairs investigation, Marshal Ron Fox was fired. Nobody from Clark County told Monica Contreras that. She found out because we found her. Contreras asked that we blur her face.
I just hope I did the right thing by telling Internal Affairs. It makes me feel good because now I know that I was right.
We went to the top of Clark County Court Administration. They released a statement reading, "Court personnel are prohibited from commenting on the video because it's a personnel matter. When the actions of any district court employee are called into question, the court immediately responds by conducting a fair, thorough investigation and upon completion taking appropriate action." Even though Marshal Fox was fired, sources tell the I-Team Clark County is widening its investigation into why this incident and a growing number of assault allegations were never reported by Family Court Management to Internal Affairs. Marshal Ron Fox maintains his innocence and is suing Clark County for wrongful termination. His attorney declined an on-camera interview, but in court filings claims the marshal's arrest was just because nobody in the courtroom tried to stop him. We have the entire 6-minute courtroom video. That's on our website.
It's hard to watch, especially the little girl.
Yeah.
And the judge is not culpable in any way in this.
Well, she is under investigation. Okay. A lot of people are under investigation, so we're going to be following the story.
I guess so. All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So, you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, lurkers, you tell me, Aboriginal Radio, at lavabit.com. You tell me if you can trust anyone in the system. Can you trust the system? Can any of us trust the system? Okay, so this Snowden fellow, he's told us about PRISM. Bradley Manning told us about, I believe, not just the collateral murder video, the Iraq war logs, the Afghan raw logs, and whatever else WikiLeaks has been putting out. Which I'm still trying to figure out how the hell we're able to do that if Assange is in the situation that he's in and his original crew isn't anymore, they say. I don't understand. But in any case, obviously in the United States, tell the truth and run. You know, which is a Russian saying. Tell the truth and then run. You know, that's the position that we're in, that's the state of affairs, And hey, you know, it's your democracy. You know, this is your democracy, right? You know, this is supposed to be the leading light of the Anglophone world. And what the hell's going on here? What the hell's going on here? And then to make things worse, here we have a black man in the White House. And at one point, it used to be understood that the black man in America told the truth. Was the one person in the world that would tell you the truth. Right? And, you know, then it's talk about gospel and, you know, just rip off Gullah Kumbaya, right? Think of that. You know? I mean, it's just, you know, it does a lot of talk. But, you know, in the meantime, there are kill lists. You know, everything is being monitored. I mean, when you have people saying that this is worse than what the Stasi had going on in East Germany. Well, at least I can say with the Stasi, they were going after Nazis. The worst German intelligence was protecting Nazis. You know, and well, hell, what do you expect? The Galen organization is what became West German intelligence, right? Or John Loftus and all the other stuff that I'm reading. Oh, is it all not true? James Bamford. You know, you better start learning the names of these authors and start looking up their work. William Bloom, you know, Michael Parenti. I mean, of course, if you don't know who Noam Chomsky is, you really need to go back to the mailroom in terms of politics, because, you know, where you been? Where you been? You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, where's Michael Harrington's Socialist Party when you really need it, right? So, you know, I just wanted to point that out. And, you know, like I said, Saxby Chambliss, I don't know what to say about dear old Saxby other than he needs to go, I guess he said this is his last term, so, you know, he needs to go sit, have some mint juleps, dream about the days of old in the antebellum when he could sit and watch the Negroes out there working in the fields or dancing or playing violin for him or something. It is what it is. You know, like I said, he had a point, but it was a really dumb way to put it out there. You know, I mean, women have gone through enough bullshit then to have to hear that in that way. You know, and I want to say too, you know, women, activists, I can't tell you what to do, but I can make a suggestion if we're all supposed to be helping each other, and if you're still going to push the post-structuralist argument that all oppressions are the same, I don't particularly disagree, but I don't particularly agree with that either. You know, there's a hierarchy to oppression because we're living in a system of hierarchy. So, I mean, you know, again, it is what the fuck it is. But I will say this though, you know, I understand that a lot of you have, you know, problems with sexual identity, sexual orientation, sexual exploitation, and you're right, it needs to be, you know, pointed out. And what I'm coming through on this, most of you are aware that one of our editors recently did a audio editorial that Femin doesn't speak for the world, and she made some very good points. But I also want to point out too that Femin brings up excellent points, but what Femin, I feel, needs to take into account, and we had another guest on, I had an interview with writer Sonny Singh from the UK who also talked about this, is that, you know, each culture has to understand feminism as it relates to that culture. You know, the problems that white women are having with white men are not the same problems that, say, Puerto Ricanas are having with their husbands. You know, it's not the same issue, say, in the Dominican Republic. You know, it's not the same issue in Haiti. Not the same issues in Brazil. You know, India has its own flavor of feminism that makes sense for women in India. Now, it doesn't make sense maybe for somebody in Cambridge, but it makes sense for somebody, you know, who's in the Punjab. So we have to take that into account. The same thing with Africa, because we really don't know what's going on with women in Africa, because nobody asked the women in Africa what the hell is going on. And the ones that they do ask, you know, they're usually the heads of state, or they are, remember what I've said here about Khrushchev? when people criticized him while he was giving, I mean, you know, women who have issues with, you know, the men in their particular culture, it is not necessarily fair or even appropriate to assume that all that the entire scheme, the entire schema of it, of the oppression that you're suffering is the same elsewhere. See, one of the things that we have to understand about oppression is it has different forms. Now, we say that, but I don't think a lot of us internalize that in how we analyze things. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people who will say that everything I just mentioned tonight, that I rambled. Well, to a degree, they're right. This is a stream of consciousness. I've never denied that. I mean, that's how it's been. Probably how it always will be as long as it continues. But see, these are the thoughts that go through my mind as I think about these issues and as I share them with you. And I encourage you to not believe anything I say, but to take what I say and to pick it up and go on your search engines. In this case, I'm now recommending Duck and Go and ixquick.com. We have to understand how we're all being affected and stop making general assumptions that, you know, what's going on with you is the same it is for everybody else. Okay, just because you like vanilla ice cream does not mean that everybody should like vanilla ice cream. But it makes it really easy for us to be intellectually lazy to just make these blanket assumptions, because this is where our comfort zones are. This is where my psychological boundaries are. This is where my educational or experience levels are limited. So that's where it has to be for everybody else. Now, the idea of being progressive is supposed to be to go beyond these, which I find it really weird when conservatives like to bring up, you know, the Greeks and what have you. Now, Plato believed in slavery and what have you, but in other ways, he was progressive for his own class. You know, the same thing could be said for Socrates. Matter of fact, the same thing can be said for Democritus. I mean, all of these people. They didn't include the slaves and the lower classes in these debates that they had in their salons and whatever. So, you know, I mean, this is the closest thing, I suppose, the podcast medium, the internet radio broadcast that's left. And, you know, I'm very serious. You know, I want to hear from you. You know, Lupe and I both want to hear from you at angryindianradio@lavabit.com. You can also leave us a polite voicemail that we'll play on the show if it's not too rude. you can leave it with, pardon me, Google Talk, you know, if you don't mind anyone paying attention or listening to what you have to say to us, which is, you already know what the deal is. We just finished talking about prison, right? But Aboriginal Media Group at Google Talk, if you want to leave us a message. Yeah, you know, we want to hear from you, but we want you to also think about these contradictions that I raised. And, you know, we're not trying to lose anybody. You know, I mean, I want to be not boring, but I don't want to be entertaining. Dig what I'm saying? You know, I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about, you know, I want you to ask yourself, what is Bradley Manning in court for? You know, he's in court for obeying the rules. International law says, and the military field code of justice says, you are supposed to report crimes that are done by your own side, or by the other side, or by any side. You know, I mean, ever since I was a child, I always thought it was kind of weird that you can have, you know, rules for war, but you can't have a rule against war. And when I remember saying that to the adults, you know, about me, they all said, well, you know, that's pretty interesting that a child can see that. Well, if a child can see that, why can't you adults see it? You know, how ludicrous is it if you can have rules for war, but not a rule against war? And then be like the current leader here and say that there's such a thing as a just war as you pick up a Nobel Peace Prize. But then we have to remember that Nobel won the Peace Prize for inventing dynamite. So, you know, what kind of a Peace Prize is that then, you know, for inventing something that simply perpetuated war? Even though he made the argument that he thought it was going to end war. You know, everybody that comes up with some new weapon always claims this is going to be the one that's going to end all war, right? You know, I mean, if you say the Great War, nobody knows what you're talking about anymore. You have to say World War One, right? Because there was a World War Two. You know, and then you had the Cold War. And then in between that was Korea, Vietnam, and, you know, a bunch of other little things that went down in Grenada and Panama, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, Chile, Nicaragua. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. We'll speak to you soon. Take care. Good night. Good luck. And I know I haven't said this in a while because I thought it was getting redundant, but I really mean this. If you want the man to get up off your back, brother and sister, all you've got to do is stand up. Power to the people. Sig it.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
Idle No More calls all people
to join in peaceful revolution,
to honor Indigenous sovereignty,
and protect the land and water
for generations to come.
Mexicans, South Americans, all Indigenous people, get inspired,
take action,
and become a part of the solution.
It's my future,
your future,
our future.
We are the protectors of Mother Earth.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up and protect it.
Stand up
and protect our Earth.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
Do not sit.
And become a part of this incredible movement.
The time has come.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Idle no more.
Become idle no more.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We end today's show remembering the life of African-American civil rights activist Medgar Evers. In the early 1960s, Evers served as the first NAACP field secretary for Mississippi, where he worked to end segregation and fought for voter rights. It was 50 years ago today, June 12, 1963, when the 37-year-old organizer was assassinated in his driveway.
I recently caught up with his widow, Merle Evers, at an NAACP dinner here in New York and asked her how people should remember her husband, for whom she sought justice for so many years.
Well, what I would encourage young people to do is to go online and find out as much as they can about him his contributions, to go, believe it or not, to their libraries and do research, and to say to them that he was a man of all time, one who was totally dedicated to freedom for everyone and was willing to pay a price. And he knew what that price was going to be, but he was willing to pay it. As he said in one of his last speeches, I love my wife and I love my children, and I want to create a better life for them and all women and all children, regardless of race, creed, or color. I think that kind of sizes him up. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't want to die, but he was willing to take the risk.
Talk about where he was coming from that night that he was killed in your driveway.
Medgar was coming from a mass rally that we had two or three times a week, actually. And there had been a meeting after that session, and he was on his way home. I know how weary he was because he got out of his car on the driver's side, which was next to the road where the assassin was waiting. And we had determined quite some time ago that we should always get out on the other side of the car. And that night, he got out on the driver's side with an armful of T-shirts that said Jim Crow Must Go. And that bullet struck him in his back, ricocheted throughout his chest. And he lasted 30 minutes after that, and the doctor said they didn't know how he did. But he was determined to live. The good thing, his body's not here, but he still lives. And I'm very happy, proud, and pleased to have played a part in making that come true.
Merle Evers, 50 years ago today, June 12, 1963. Her husband, the civil rights leader Medgar Evers, 37 years old, was assassinated in his driveway in Jackson, Mississippi.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? Since we freed the slaves in 1865, don't you think the black race owes the white race reparations? I was thinking like $20,000, you know, per person. I mean, anybody that's not on welfare.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.